The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
We're live, pal. Hey, we're live, pal. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the A-Side Live Chat here on MMAFighting.com. I am, of course, your host, Jose Youngs. It is a beautiful overcast day in Phoenix, Arizona. We got our first rain in, I think, about 2 months. So that's enjoyable. It's a little cloudy. So it's not 120 anymore. It's about 101. So we'll take what we can get. But no one cares about the weather here in Arizona. I want to welcome a very special guest. We've wanted to have him back on the show for a while now, but he's been a little busy. He's a new dad. But now that we have some Brazilian news in the fight, Brazilian news going on in the world, in the fight world right now, we decided to bring him back, and he was gracious enough to give us his time. Welcome back, everyone. Guilherme Cruz, how's new dad life?
It's chaotic. No sleep at all, but it's fun. It's beautiful.
And of course, on the ones and twos, producer extraordinaire, you know him from Between the Links, you know him from post preview shows and all that good jazz, Casey Lydon. How's Inglewood, poser?
Inglewood is good. I got a fresh can of LaCroix.
Isn't it LaCroix?
I don't know. LaCroix.
Hipster water.
This is the best flavor, limoncello. I was kind of ants. I was on the fence.
Only flavor I've not tried. I think key lime is the best flavor.
Key lime's good, but limoncello. That's it.
All right.
It's almost creamy. I don't know how they do it. It's weird magic. Yeah.
Next time I go to the store, that'll be the next one I try. Key, have you ever had a LaCroix?
I've never heard about it in my life.
It's just fizzy. It's just fizzy carbonated water that has flavor in it.
Zero calories.
So if you want to get that crisp taste of soda, I'm doing all of that marketing. I'm also dog sitting a dog. We're dog sitting, so we have this dog running around my feet right now. Maybe she'll make an appearance. Lucy is just absolutely enamored by this television that's not even on front of me. Anyway, but you guys know the drill. You can ask questions in the comment section on Twitter. We're all live on Facebook. We're live on Periscope. We're live on YouTube. Casey's man in the comment section. We've got a bunch of questions coming in. But, of course, we got Anderson Silva in the news. We got Gleison Tibau in the news. We got a lot of Brazilian fighters in the news for the right and wrong reason. So we decided to bring Guilherme, of course. So any Brazilian questions you have in the fight world, we got the perfect guest for you.
Or regular questions.
Or regular questions. Or regular questions. But it's not every day we can get someone from the Guilherme's part of the world on the show. So, of course, Casey, what is our first question? What do you got to say?
Oh, no, I don't want to do that question right now, but did you know it is winter in Brazil right now?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
How does that work? With the earth being flat and all, I don't get it.
Yeah, it's crazy. How does it happen? It's crazy. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. Your thermostats are broken over there. All right. Let's get some questions. Let's start with Andy.
Four Corner Sports NY on Twitter, and still looks pretty good in his boxing match with Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Is this possibly something he should do more since he had a good performance? And would a bout with Roy Jones Jr. be the fight to make? Hashtag the A-side. So we're going to use Mr. Four Corner Sports' questions to just talk in general. Guilherme, I'm sure you watched. Casey, I know you watched because we did a watch-along together. You could go watch it after. Anderson Silva looked better than ever. I can't remember the last time he looked that good in any sort of combat sports. Not only did he beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., who is, of course, the son of Julio Cesar Chavez Sr., one of the greatest, if not the greatest, boxers of all time. He did it in the boxing ring, not the MMA ring, and he looked incredible. I think I even saw the unofficial scorecards on the broadcast had him winning all but one round. I think he only lost one round on the unofficial scorecard. He looked awesome in there. Guilherme, what were your initial thoughts after watching Anderson Silva's fight against Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.?
I was amazed. It was the first time Anderson Silva put on a fantastic performance since Bonner, like 9 years ago. It was amazing to watch. I won't say I was surprised, because I think Anderson Silva's boxing is way better than the ones from MMA fighters that we are used to seeing doing the crossover. Most recently, Ben Askren. You can't even compare the two of them. But to be able to do that against someone who has like 60 pro fights, 50 pro fights, was it was surreal to watch. And it just got me wondering how well Anderson Silva would have done if Dana White had allowed him to do some boxing matches back when he was UFC champion. He was trying to box Roy Jones Jr. and all that. If he was able to do that now, as 45 or 46 years of age, imagine a prime Anderson what he would be able to accomplish in boxing.
Casey, I know we got your thoughts while the fight was happening, but now that it's been a few days to digest, any new thoughts on Anderson Silva's performance against Chavez Jr.?
I just know, more than anything, I didn't realize how a strong victory, a strong just performance from Anderson Silva would just open up the world, I felt like, in terms of just imagination. It's like, oh my God, Anderson Silva can fight Roy Jones. Anderson Silva can fight Mike Tyson. Anderson Silva, could box Vitor Belfort. I don't know. There's just so... Like I put it out there in the world that I would freaking love to see Anderson Silva in a boxing match versus Chael Sonnen, you know, something like that. Just, I don't know why, but like I just want to see it. And I think more than anything, that's what kind of Anderson Silva does, and that's what he's always done. He lets your imagination goes wild when you watch Anderson Silva fight. When he's moving, he's smiling. He looks like he's just doing sorcery out there, in a sense. You think of bigger things with the sport, you know, grand spectacles. And I think that's what kind of that was the feeling it brought back watching Anderson Silva have fun in the cage and be successful. It's just, you know, smiling.
Fun in the ring.
Yeah. In the ring. Yeah. Yeah. You know, him slapping his leg, like, come on, let's fight. Let's do this. You know, backing himself in the corner, kind of, you know, a la Stefan Bonner, you know, in the Brazil. And it was just fun. And Anderson Silva being 46 is like, that's just ridiculous. Baffling. But cool. The negative side of me, the pessimistic side, is like, well, Anderson Silva was whatever. Chavez Jr. is a joke, you know. But I'm gonna stay positive and just think that was the best Chavez Jr. and Anderson Silva whooped up on him 8-0, you know. Come on, let's go.
Hey, a win is a win, and he looks better than ever. Yeah. Chavez Jr. also missed weight, so Anderson Silva left 100K richer than he initially thought he was going to. Not bad at all for a fighter that was, quote-unquote, kicked out of the UFC for getting knocked out by Uriah Hall, who's also looked better than ever. Like, Anderson was not losing to bums in the UFC either.
Yeah.
But, Guilherme, what was the feeling in Brazil when Anderson Silva won?
I feel like this match was flying under the radar in a bit in a sense, because it was streamed live in a platform that I had never heard about before in my life, and I don't think like the casual fan knew that Anderson Silva was fighting Saturday. I think that they just found out about it like on Saturday night, just hours before it was happening, and But on Sunday, I got a lot of texts. That's when I know that something big happened, when I got a lot of texts from people that aren't like hardcore fans.
Yeah.
They text you, and I got a lot of texts. Man, what Anderson Silva did, he's incredible. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. So I think that it helps his case. And I wonder what this means for his future in MMA if he chooses to come back. There were a lot of promoters saying they were interested in signing him after he left the UFC, like Bellator, KSW, mm-hmm. a lot of promoters. I think only Rising said that they were interested in signing him. So I wonder if that changes their opinions on Anderson Silva, if they are willing to sign him now after what he did in boxing. I don't know. I don't know if what he did in boxing would be possible if he was fighting MMA with small gloves, and his chin obviously isn't the same that he used to be. But I wonder if that changes his plans for the future. But I think boxing should be his way, especially getting paid a lot of money. I don't think he's going to get paid that much if he comes back to MMA.
Yeah, I want to see him continue this boxing run. I also know he told our own Damon Martin when he interviewed him that Anderson Silva said he was done with MMA and kind of wants to pursue this boxing thing. I know the Roy Jones Jr. fight was brought up immediately after, but he wants to take professional fights. He doesn't want to take exhibition fights. So, Casey, last question on this, and I'll pose this question to you again, Guillerme. If you're Anderson Silva's team, which fight do you want to see him take next?
Are we talking money too, or is it just pure money kind of changes everything, but
I think money and we can factor in everything.
Okay, everything.
Yeah. We'll also be realistic too, because everyone wants to see like George St. Pierre, but like no, I want like a realistic fight.
Oh my God, George St. Pierre, crap. But I would love, I mean, for Anderson. I mean, lucrative wise, I would think one of the Paul brothers. I think Logan, honestly. Just money wise, I don't want to see it, but I feel like that's a fun fight. And Logan doesn't seem like he's not the trash. Like Jake seems like the trash talking one. Logan seems kind of the happier one. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Where Logan Paul is in his life now? I mean, what Jake is doing now is what Logan was doing a few years ago. You just grow up, as okay. he puts it. All right. So. The older brother is more mature now.
Which one's the older brother?
Logan. You can remember because L comes before J in the alphabet, so Logan came before Jake.
Okay, okay. So
makes sense.
Okay. Logan seems the little bit more chill one, and I don't think Jake versus regardless of what happens in the Woodley fight, Jake versus Anderson makes that much sense because I don't know. I don't trash talking Anderson doesn't really feel right, but
it won't work. Yeah.
Yeah, it won't work. But Logan, and I'm just saying, I'm just talking money. I'm just talking money wise. Logan versus Anderson. I think it's a very winnable fight for Anderson, and it'd be exciting. I don't know. I'm all about it. I mean, obviously, I don't want to see Anderson versus you know Golovkin or anything crazy like that. But or anyone in the top 50, whatever.
Well,
whatever
it's weird passes. Because beating Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., like Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. is a highly Like he's a very good boxer. I've said a thousand times I don't quite respect him as much in the boxing world, but he is a very good, like he was a former champion who has fought like Canelo and all these guys. So I feel like he came in real hot right away. And now if he faces any other of these active boxers, it might be a little bit of a step down. But Guillerme, before we move on to the next one, who would you want to see Anderson fight next?
I mean, a fight that would make a lot of sense is the Vitor rematch in boxing. Vitor is calling for it, but I don't know if Anderson Silva has anything to gain from it. The fight in UFC was just perfect for him. It made him a superstar. So fighting Vitor again in boxing in an era that Vitor is so good at, and we have to see how Vitor looks against Oscar De La Hoya too. And yeah. Vitor is saying that he's fighting Holyfield in December. Vitor is always promoting a lot of stuff. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but that would be good. I don't know how big that would be in the U.S., but here in Brazil, that would be just epic. You can just fill a soccer stadium with them boxing.
Vitor and Anderson would fill a soccer stadium?
Yeah, I think so. If it went well, I think would. because Vitor is just a superstar. Anderson Silva is a superstar. Of course, not right now because we have COVID here in Brazil. We still have that. I don't know if you remember how was that.
Sure, sure.
Oh. Yeah. But yeah, I think that would be big.
Wow. If it can fill a Sox stadium, yeah, do that if it's that big. I know Mike Tyson's going to come out with his Legends Only League.
But if you're doing a fight in the U.S., you're getting paid in dollars, you don't need a fight that fills out a soccer stadium to be more lucrative than a fight here in Brazil, you know?
Hey, why not Anderson and De La Hoya then? If De La Hoya pieces up Vitor Belfort, or just have Anderson Silva sign with the Legends Only League with Mike Tyson, which was announced but has no events yet. So, let to be determined. Selfishly, I still want to see the Roy Jones fight, and I think everyone wants to see it.
But I just put this out there, be a little bit negative. If we keep pushing these guys out there, eventually we're gonna have a very sad night where we're gonna see Anderson. Yeah. Laid out flat. We're all going to be going, ooh, I don't think this fight was a good idea after the fact. But coming into it, we'll be like, yeah. So I'm just like, I mean, if Oscar like whoops up on Vitor, are we going to go, yeah, now do that to Anderson? I mean, as much as I want to see it, we also have to be emotionally prepared to, you know, this is still the fight. This is still the hurt business, you know? So
yeah,
100%.
I want to see it.
Oscar De La Hoya is also only like 5'9", so he's not that tall. He's also a smaller guy compared to Anderson, so it might be one of those like 6'3" Anderson versus a very highly skilled old boxer that is much shorter than him. So yeah, that's something to take into consideration too. But
I just wish we had a few million dollars. I was like, okay, Anderson versus De La Hoya, Anderson versus Mayweather. Let's just here's $10 million. Have fun, do it. Just. Unfortunately, they want to get paid. All right, thank you.
Thanks for the question, Four Corner Sports NY. From Bobby Adkins on Twitter, who gets title shot first, Edwards at 170 or Darren Till at 185? Well, I'm on record saying Leon Edwards will never ever get a title shot. Not because he doesn't deserve it, because that's just the luck of the draw. And I feel like the UFC has constantly given Darren Till these, if he wins this, he gets a title shot. Also, Kamaru Usman's not really saying Leon Edwards right now, and Israel Adesanya brings up Darren Till a lot as possible opponent. So my answer is going to be Darren Till. Jeremy, what do you say?
That's a tough one, because if Darren Till is really going to fight Derek Brunson, I think a win gets him a title shot after
Whitaker. Yeah,
Whitaker. So I would say Till, because Leon Edwards, we have no idea what UFC is going to do. If they're going to give Kobe the next title shot against Usman, and then who's next? If someone comes up, it's easier to leapfrog Leon Edwards at 170, unfortunately for him.
Casey, I'll rephrase this question. Who gets the title shot first, Leon Edwards or Nate Diaz?
Oh, Nate Diaz. Without a doubt. I mean, UFC is a business than a sport.
Yeah.
And Kamaru Usman is a businessman. You know, he's a great fighter. He might be the greatest welterweight ever. Coming, you know, who knows? But Kamaru Usman has a bank account, and Nate Diaz will fill it up way more than Leon Edwards for both the UFC and himself. So I don't
know. Oh, look, my goodness.
Guess who just woke up.
We have a new making just woke up. Her MMA fighting debut. Oh man!
Hey, boy.
Have you?
Famosa.
Have you ever seen something more beautiful on MMAfighting.com?
Linda,
that is so cute.
That hair. Okay,
hi, mama. Hi, mama, Linda.
What's your name?
Bye. It's Maya.
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 Bye.
Can I get a little fist bump, Maya? A little fist bump? A little fist bump? Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Her first fist pose.
Yeah, first.
Ai, Deus, igual uma boneca.
I was talking to Jose. She was sleeping like for an hour, but I can't say out loud. She's sleeping because she'll wake up right away.
She'll hear those words.
That's how it works. Yeah, she hears it.
You'll put it out. You put it out on the ether. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Man. See? Leon Edwards is even getting overshadowed by Maya.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking. So this is what Leon Edwards needs to do to get a title shot. Step one. Oh, baby.
Sorry, Leon.
Sorry, Leon.
Oh, man.
That's it. That's funny.
Poor Leon.
Poor Leon.
He's such a good fighter, too. It sucks.
What sucks for him. Here? What do we got here?
Here, you. Now we have another dog.
She just wants to play fetch all of a sudden. My goodness. That's a hyper dog. I try to pick her up, and she's like, no, we're playing fetch now.
No.
Babies have a way of jumping into podcasts. That's true. And longtime co-host. He's been on a few times. He's having his second kid. If not, they haven't already. But yeah, new babies always have a way of just jumping on the podcast train here on MMA Fighting.
All right. Next question. Anthony, thank you for the comment, Anthony Walker. Jeez. All right, here we go. Where are we at?
Another question from Four Corner Sports. With UFC 264 taking place in a little over 2 weeks, top to bottom, is this the best card of the year? And if not, which is? With Wonderboy and Burns, Wonderboy versus Burns, the co-main event, should the winner sit out for the title shot or fight Leon Edwards if Usman versus Colby is booked later this year? So yes, Guy, is UFC 264, to answer this first question, is UFC 264 the best card of the year?
I think so. 262 was a great one. But yeah, I'm kind of having a trouble remembering all cards because for the last 8 weeks, I haven't slept that much. So my memory gets confused. But yeah,
so the main card of 264 is Poirier McGregor 3, Gilbert Burns versus Stephen Thompson, Tai Tuivasa versus Greg Hardy, Irene Aldana versus Janet Kunitskaya, and of course, Sean O'Malley versus Luis Smolka. And then the featured prelims are Carlos Condit, Max Griffin, Nico Price, Michelle Pereira. Then, of course, you also have Sean Brady, Kevin Lee, Drix Duplessis, Trevin Giles. And then you got Ryan Hall on the ESPN Plus / Fight Pass prelim. So top to bottom.
Yeah, that's a solid one.
It's pretty good. I don't think it's the best main card. I think the best main card was 261. That was the Jacksonville one. That was the three title fights on one. You also had Weidman and Uriah Hall on that card. 263 was pretty stacked. But the prelims left much to be desired in terms of action, I think. But Casey, top to bottom, UFC 264, the best scheduled card of the year so far? We can't hear you, Casey. You're muted. You're muted, Casey.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. The landscapers came, so it was very
loud. Oh, no.
I was going to say, it's definitely not the best main card of the year. Yeah, not the best, you know, you paid the money for the pay-per-view. Not the best one. But the card top to bottom, it's up there for sure. It's a very good card. Lots of fights with significance and lots of fights I want. Yeah, fighters I want to see and fights that matter. Yeah, like Nico Price, Michelle Pereira. Come on,
that's just rules.
Yeah, and I appreciate the UFC putting Ryan Hall on the early prelims because they know, and this is good in the UFC because they know people will pay $80-$90 to see Ryan Hall fight anyone, but they're giving away for free in the early prelims, and I appreciate that, yeah. Dana, helping the poor fan out.
I don't think they want to put Ryan Hall and Conor McGregor on the same main card because you don't want to waste two talents on a pay per view.
Yeah,
you know, you get because you know the at old professional wrestling thing where you're gone for a long time and then you kind of reintroduce them. And then the next time they're on a massive card, I think that's what we're doing with Ryan Hall, obviously. Anyway, second part of the question: Wonderboy versus Burns co-main event. Should the winner sit out for a title shot or fight Leon Edwards? Casey,
money wise, it makes sense to sit out because I don't think fans really understand like what a jump in pay you get for title fights, and especially if you win that title fight, all the pay-per-view money that you get. So For selfish reasons, I say, heck no. Whoever wins, you fight Leon Edwards tomorrow. But career-wise, yeah, they should probably say that. They should probably wait and take the heat from the fans. And Dana will say they don't want to fight, you know, all that crap. But yeah. But yeah, I would hope.
I don't think Gilbert Burns is going to wait for anyone. Gilbert Burns is going to want to fight like every single week. But Guillerme, same question.
And I don't think Gilbert Burns gets a title shot with this win.
Yeah, well, you're agreed. Right. Yeah, I sorry. Yeah, Gilbert Burns probably out of the equation.
I think if Tony Barr wins, he can have a case just to sit out and wait for a title shot. But I think Burns has to fight more. I don't think Gilbert Burns is counting on just one win to get another title shot. So just book him against Leon next if he wins.
Yeah, especially because if the UFC is going to London, like they keep teasing, they might need some main events in the UK scene. So Leon Edwards Wonderboy would be a real fun main event for number one contender. Last time Wonderboy went over to the UK for a main event, though, it didn't really work out for him. He got hosed, I think. That was the Darren Till fight. Anyway.
I forgot about that fight. Was that fight good? Or was it just kind of...
It was Stephen Thompson, Darren Till. It was like same thing as the Robert Whittaker, Darren Till fight. It was a lot of like feints and it was very technical. But I think a lot of people think Stephen Thompson won. Darren Till dropped him, I think, at the very end of the fight and he won on the judge. He also missed weight. Before that fight. And then the next fight, he lost to Tyron Woodley and then got KO'd bad by Jorge Masvidal and then went up to 185.
Till got a title shot off missing weight?
Yep.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Interesting.
That was when whoever was running his vlogs put out that video of him cutting weight and he like went blind cutting weight. He was like, that's like, I'm like, what are you doing, man? This is terrible. That's also, No, never mind. Wrong one. I get the Masvidal till and the Wonder Boy till fights mixed up because they were both in the UK.
All right.
In terms of like fight week.
Let me bring up some YouTube comments.
Can we see Jose's dog? Well, it's not my dog. Julie and I are watching. Our friends are out of town and they have this little dog, Lucy, who is just very hyper right now. But yeah, she is not. Lucy is not my dog. She's a very chill dog, though. Maybe she comes back. I'll try to pick her up.
All right.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andre Koreshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Here we go.
Question for Guillerme. What is the popularity of MMA in Brazil these days compared to 10 years ago when there were so many Brazilian champs? So, interesting question, Guillerme. I think everyone kind of knows it's not near the peak that it was when you had, like, Anderson was running on top. You had Jose Aldo, even Junior Dos Santos. How many UFC champions are there now? Two? Oliveira and Amanda? And then you have a bunch. You have, well, we just lost one in Bellator, but you got a few in Bellator too. But I don't know how popular Bellator is in Brazil. So what is the popularity of MMA down there these days?
It's lower than what it used to be, of course. But I don't think Charles Oliveira is getting bigger, but it's nowhere near the level that Jose Aldo ever was, or Anderson Silva, or Big Nog, or Vitor Belfort. But he's trying hard to get to that level. Of course, Davidson's loss was a big hit for the market, for UFC's plans here. Bellator isn't that big here yet. I still don't get why they just won't come to Brazil. I know that it's not gonna be a profitable event for them. They're not gonna make a lot of money like they probably are doing events in the US or doing events in Italy, Israel, and all those random markets. But you have so many Brazilian fighters. You have to be willing to like spend some money, just burn some money doing events here to grow your brand. And all, it doesn't make sense for me that they're not coming here. With so many champions like Chris Cyborg, the Pitbull brothers, they had those Lima who just lost his belt. So I don't get it. It would help so much for them to grow now that they are live here on ESPN. So I don't know, man. But MMA is not as big as it was 10 years ago. But it's not like this crisis that a lot of people talk about too. So yeah, I think that if you look at Combate, it's the pay-per-view channel for global that airs the UFC. They don't reveal how many subscribers they have, because here in Brazil you just pay one fee and you watch every card of the month. So they don't reveal how many subscribers they have, but from what I hear, it's like they have less than half that than what they used to when the UFC was huge, like Anderson Silva, those days, you know. But it's still very, very profitable for Combate and for the UFC, what they make here in terms of pay-per-view. But yeah, it doesn't help that Amanda Nunes isn't that big star. You know, she also doesn't seem
Cyborg,
to care.
Is Cyborg bigger than Amanda Nunes?
Yeah, she is.
I've always
been interested. Why do you think that is? Why do you think Cyborg kind of captures the imagination of Brazilian fans, but not Amanda Nunes?
Because I think that Cyborg has been around for and has been at the top for much longer. She's just an elite fighter for more than a decade. And Amanda Nunes is a great fighter, but she wasn't that great for all the time. She became champion like 2015 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's more recent. So. And Chris Cyborg, her style, she's just a machine. She's just ferocious. So I think that captures the imagination of the fans and people seem to like. And also, she doesn't hide too much, you know. Amanda Nunes doesn't want to do media, doesn't want to do anything. I respect her if that's what's...
That's me. How she chooses to do that. That's her own thing.
Yeah,
but.
She can act that way and then complain she's not a star. It's her choice, you know. But she's not the biggest name in women's MMA here in Brazil. That's Cyborg, no doubt.
I mean, Cyborg, her media presence, just her involvement in the community, both in the States and Southern California and in Brazil, is much more well known. Yeah, Amanda Nunes, you're right, kind of does her fight and then she kind of disappears and does her family life, privately, which that's her choice.
did you come to Rio when? Amanda Nunes fought Bennington, Casey.
I think Esther.
I was there.
Yeah. Compare that night to the one that Chris Cyborg made her debut
against Leslie Smith.
You were there as well. Yeah. It was just a soccer state, of course. It was a much bigger event, but she also helped it become a bigger event because she's from Curitiba. But the atmosphere of being a Chris Cyborg fight night in Brazil and. One Amanda Nunes, you can see it's different.
Yeah, I felt it. Yeah, Amanda Nunes. Everyone knew she was very good. And you're like, oh, that's Amanda Nunes. She's a champion. But yeah, she just didn't have that when Amanda Nunes and Cyborg walks into the room in Brazil, it's like whoa. Everyone kind of focuses. Amanda Nunes just doesn't. It's the same over here, man. Nunes just doesn't have that. It's kind of a mystery too. Doesn't have that big star appeal yet, even though like numbers wise, she should. I mean, you look at her record and who she's beating, it should. But here we are.
If Bellator held an event in Brazil, who would be the headliner? Chris Cyborg or Pitbull?
Depends on when you're doing the events. If you're doing events in the from Rio, São Paulo, or anywhere in the southern area of Brazil, like Curitiba, it's got to be a Cyborg. But if you're doing in the northeast area of Brazil where the Pitbull brothers live, it's got to be Pitbull. If you do an event in Natal, as a place that UFC has done events in the past, was Hendo and Belfort. No, Hendo and Shogun, I think. So if you do an event there, gotta be the Pitbull brothers.
And then
sold out easily.
Yeah, and then whoever's not the main event, I assume, would be the co-main event, and then you'd throw on Juliana Velasquez and Lima. I'm sure you want to throw Machida on there, of course. There's a million. Yeah, man, I didn't realize how many high level Brazilian fighters Bellator has. But yeah.
We one last thing about this. Does Brazil, the Brazil MMA scene, does it need Brazilian champions to kind of succeed, or is the sport enough?
I want to add one thing on that. When I was on Fight Island before the leading into the Paulo Costa or Israel Adesanya Paulo Costa fight, a lot of the Brazilian media said if Paulo had won, he would have been a superstar, like a very big deal, and he was like the but he needed to be champion to be like the next push of MMA in Brazil. Guilherme, is that accurate?
Yeah. If he had won the belts, he would be such a big deal in Brazil. The way he fights, his looks, he has everything. He has a whole package
to become a star. Anderson's old belt. I think they kept talking about that too. It would have been the same weight class Anderson dominated.
I think if he was a light heavyweight or anything, it was just become a big deal because he has the it factor, but the way he lost was just a big hit for him. To Casey's question, I think that for the sport to be a big deal in Brazil, to attract casual fans, you must have a champion. But it's big in Brazil. In terms of you have a solid base of fans that don't care if you have a champion or not. They would just love the sport. But to go outside of this bubble, you must have a champion. That's why I think Charles Oliveira being from São Paulo is so important for the UFC. If they market him really well, he can become a big deal.
There you go.
There you go. All right. Thank you very much.
I hope we answered all of your questions, Michael.
I'm always actually really interested in how fans in different countries accept the sport. You know, is the sport itself big, or is it just the fighters and kind of the celebrityness of big name fighters? Is that what's big? And I don't really have a good I don't know. I just don't know.
Since I work for an American website for so long, I sometimes lose the sense of how big someone is in Brazil. But I have a lot of friends that work for Brazilian media, friends that have YouTube channel, and they always say that Paulo Costa still does amazing numbers on YouTube. Whenever they do videos about him, it's just off the charts. Paulo Costa and Charles Oliveira is getting there as well. So even though he lost, I think the image of Paulo Costa and the way he lost and everything, the controversies and all that, he's still a big deal. I'm curious to see what his next fight is and how well he would do in terms of media attention here in Brazil. Win or lose, his next one. I think the UFC has a big starting potential in Paulo Costa if he wins his next one. I think he's getting another title shot based on that, because he's just a big name in Brazil.
Yeah, there was a couple.
It depends, of course, on how much money he asked for.
Well, he's a big Brazilian meat. Yeah, he's a big name fighter. It sounds like he should be getting more money.
You know?
Sounds like he is underpaid. Yeah. So.
The Brazilian media said the way he looked, like, obviously when you lose in kind of like that, you kind of become a meme for a bit. But they said Paulo Costa became a big meme on like the WhatsApps and the social medias down in Brazil. A lot of them are also afraid because they saw, because I think a week or two before was when Colby beat Tyron Woodley and Donald Trump called Colby on the phone. Remember, they were on the broadcast. And a lot of them were very nervous that if that happened with Bolsonaro and Paulo, because they have like rights to broadcast Bolsonaro's like stuff. So if he did that on the broadcast, they would have to kill the feed or they wouldn't be able to run it. A lot of them were very nervous about that. Anyway.
Yeah. There was a big chance that would happen.
I'm 100%. Yeah. Okay, anyway. How many hardcore MMA fans are there? From Scott McCrate on the site. How would you measure or estimate the number of quote-unquote hardcore MMA fans? Is it the number of the least purchased pay-per-view event of the year? Is it 300,000 or like 10 million? Can you even quantify how many? Can you give me a ballpark estimate? It is so hard to... I mean, because I feel like everyone just has their own definition of quote unquote hardcore MMA fan. Like, some people will say, if you're staying in on a Saturday night to watch Cyril Gane and Alexander Volkov this Saturday, you're probably a hardcore fan. Others will say you have to watch every single event. Others will say you have to watch every single fight of every single event. So it just depends on your definition. But I'm going to say a trillion, just ballpark number.
Do you, if we wake up on a Friday morning to watch a one championship event, are you a hardcore fan?
Yeah, probably. See, it just depends on what level of hardcore fan you are.
So I would just say like 5 billion people. Like they always say that.
Oh, that's right. Good. Worldwide, there you go.
Yeah, that's the number.
Question asked, answer received. Good one, Guy.
I honestly think they're about, and I can't speak for the whole world, but I think in the United States, I think I would estimate there's about 350,000. I would classify as hardcore fans. I think that's about the number. Essentially, if real quick, in one sentence, what's the test, the litmus test for a hardcore fan, Guillermo?
I think I wouldn't say like if you watch every UFC card every weekend, because I know that even hardcore fans are going to skip a few prelims.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
I'll tell you mine. Sorry.
Go. Shoot.
I had a friend over here, and she's been coming and watching more and more fights. And I always joke, oh, you're a casual. But then once the fans came back and they started, I think they were booing. It was on the recent card, and they were booing a good fight. They were booing every fight, essentially. Yeah. And She goes, those fans are such jerks. I can't believe they're booing. And I was like, oh my God, you just graduated from a casual to a hardcore fan. You become a hardcore fan when you hate regular fans. I think so. That's like kind of my, it's more of a, I think a hardcore is more of an attitude than actually like if you watch everything. I don't know. I just, when I saw this question, I thought of that. I was like, when you start criticizing, like, I can't believe they're doing the wave. You should respect the grappling.
when you start defending the grappling.
Yeah, if you start defending grappling. Yeah.
The way I always describe it. Yeah, the way I always describe it.
Ryan Hall is the best fighter in the world. If you start defending Ryan Hall and leg locks, you're a hardcore fan.
But that's just, Ryan Hall transcends the sport of mixed martial arts.
Yeah, that's true.
I would always say if you can name a prelim fight without looking it up off the top of your head of a fight night card, that was always mine. Like when Big E was on the show and he was rattling off some fight night prelims, and
he was a hardcore fan.
Or like a couple of years ago, we had a question about fight of the year, and he was like, well, what about Brian Barberena and Vicente Luque? I was like, that was on the prelim card of the ESPN card. He's just like, it was a good fight. I'm like, wow, like good on you for knowing your stuff. So that's how I always, if you can name a prelim fight without looking it up off the top of your head.
If you follow Kaposa on Twitter, you're a hardcore fan.
Or you work for an MMA website.
Oh, yeah. You good, Guillermo? Everything okay? Oh, I lost your audio.
Oh, you lost your audio. We can't hear you.
There you go, sir.
Betty was dying here, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, back to something only hardcore fans would care about, this question.
Best for Janjarova from Tristan Gaudet. Two MMA fighting. After great performance this Saturday against Kanaka Murata, Verna Janjarova talked about wanting to climb up the rankings of the UFC's women's strawweight division. She wants to rematch against Dern, but no, she won't get that right away. Instead, called out Nina Nunes, who's ranked number 7 in the division. Wouldn't it be better if she called out Michelle Waterson instead, due to the fact that Waterson is a bigger name and be better look on her resume? No,
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't think so
because everyone calls out Michelle Waterson. Yeah. Like any fighter in the division, if they have to call, if they win, they're gonna call her out. So that's not gonna happen. Of course, there's a chance that happened, but there's a big chance that won't happen because Michelle Waterson has everyone willing and wanting to fight her. So it's just she just can go out and pick and choose whoever she thinks is gonna be the best matchup for her. So and I don't think she's gonna be Janjarova because she's not a big name and she's her fighting style is not an easy one to fight. So
yeah.
I think Nina Nunes is a good call out. I'm not saying that's gonna happen, but I think it's better than going out and calling out Michelle Waterson.
Yeah. Also, Verna seems like someone that wants to, like, she doesn't particularly, and I don't know this, this is just me speculating. She's not really looking at fighters with, quote-unquote, the big names. She just wants to fight her way up the rankings. If I remember correctly, yes, Nunez is ranked higher than Michelle Waterson. But she's 7 and Michelle Waterson is 9, so calling out a higher-ranked fighter. She wants to fight up. Good on you.
Nina, she's coming off a pretty one-sided loss, right?
To McKenzie, but that was her first fight in like 2 years, and yeah, she had just had her baby.
Oh, she lost to McKenzie. Okay. Well, that makes sense because it was the common opponent, recent opponent. Okay, I forgot about that. I don't care who Janjarova fight, Nunes, Waterson. I just hope she gets a top 10, top 15 at least. I hope she doesn't have to fight anyone behind her in line. That's all.
Well, she only has – the only two people ranked below are Lemos, who a lot of people are very high on, Amanda Lemos. I don't think they're going to give her yet. Felice Herrig, I don't think they're going to give her.
No, Sherry beat her. She beat Felice already.
Yes. And then Angela Hill and Tisha Torres are matched up. I don't think – does Amanda Ribas have a fight?
She's sick.
I think so.
No, well, yeah, she's sick. Angela Hill. She had COVID.
That's right.
Yeah, so I'm not
sure. And then Michelle, Claudia, Nina.
No, she doesn't have a fight anymore. Yeah.
Yeah,
she got COVID.
Yeah.
And then the only one, the others ranked above her that aren't matched up are Michelle Waterson, who just fought Marina Rodriguez like very recently in a very tough 5-round fight. Claudia, and then above her, Mackenzie, Marina, Jan, Carla. The Jan fight would be fun too, just because Jan's coming off a loss. But she is ranked way high, and I don't think the UFC would do that.
But that was a bad loss. She was a very one-sided loss that Jan took. Oh, I like that, actually. I like Janjarova, Jan.
Jan Michelle Waterson is a good fight, too.
Yeah.
All those fights are good.
I think Janjarova is freaking awesome. And, I'm on the Janjarova hype train. So,
she's awesome.
Yeah. Have you ever interviewed her or met her in person, Gui?
Yeah, it's what we before prior to.
Oh, you did an interview of her before for this fight. I remember. Yeah, it was a great interview. Yeah. Sorry. What did she say in the interview? She kind of like how the Dern loss kind of made her realize she had striking deficiencies.
She has to start working on her striking to evolve and not only be a just great rapper that she is. She has to just be one step ahead and be a great, well-rounded fighter.
That's excellent because that's why she lost against Dern. Their grappling kind of neutralized each other because it was 1-1 going against Dern. It was 1-1 going into the third. And in the third round, Dern just started throwing haymakers and was more aggressive with the striking. And that was pretty much the difference. Yeah. And you saw Janjarova when she came out in that first round against Murata. She was throwing big bombs and like messed up Murata's eye. And that eventually, led to takedown, led to the, breaking Murata's arm and all that crazy stuff. So, Of course you interviewed her. You're the beast. Jeez, man. I'm so stupid.
Come on, Casey.
So stupid, Casey. Why do you do this? Why do you embarrass yourself? Cool.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL World Champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with a bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Fayaz Rafiq, apologize if I mispronounced your name, on Twitter. With Ngannou Lewis off UFC 265, will we see Amanda Nunes pay-per-view headline? So yes, the news today is Francis Ngannou, or last night, I can't quite remember. Francis Ngannou versus Derek Lewis, probably not happening in August for timing reasons. So now they're looking at September, which doesn't have a location yet. I guess technically neither does the August pay-per-view. As of now, Amanda Nunes is scheduled to fight Juliana Pena, and that is the only title fight on the card, which would mean, of course, it would be the headliner. So, Guilherme, what would you say to another Amanda Nunes pay-per-view headliner?
I won't complain. I won't complain. She's awesome. She's a fantastic fighter. But I think that I don't know how well that would do in terms of pay-per-view sales in the U.S.
It's a fight that makes a lot of sense.
I think he needs something more. Just throw Valentina Shevchenko in the co-main events and you get that talk again about the trilogy between them. I think it made sense. Against whoever. Maybe two or three fighters at a time.
That's really cool, actually. Put Amanda Nunes at top versus Pena. Co-main event Shevchenko versus Lauren Murphy, you know, as the co-main. Because then not only you have the storylines of those fights themselves, you have that same storyline. Okay, if Valentina rolls through this, is she going to fight Nunes? So it creates more storylines and more conversation. So and them having them on the same stage, you know, all that kind of stuff. Them, you know, them signing posters and walking past each other in the hotel, you know, watching your bed, you know, those stupid things. It needs another championship fight, I would think, for it. Nunes Pena just doesn't have. While I think the fight's fine to make, it doesn't have the that thing, you know.
Yeah, it's missing something on the card because it's like for the Amanda Nunes when she fought Raquel Pennington in Brazil, they had like a lot of Brazilian fighters on that card. They of course they even have Machida Belfort and Gastelum Jacare. That was for the market. We don't even know where this fight is yet. If they're gonna stick it in Houston, I don't know. And the rest of their champions are Charles Oliveira just fought. Volkanovski has a fight coming up. Sterling and Jan don't have a date yet. Usman, I think, is still visiting Nigeria, if I remember correctly. I don't think he's fighting. He doesn't even have like an opponent as of right now. Adesanya just fought. Jan's fighting Glover September. Francis is off. Then, of course, you got Rose and Valentina. The only other champion is Brandon Moreno, who just fought Davison Figueiredo. So if they want to throw a bucket load of money at Brandon Moreno to fight, I don't know, Kaikar France, why not?
I don't think he would do that. Why in the world would do that? He just become UFC champion.
I agree. Unless he wants a bunch of money. Because the rumor is the fight would be in Houston, and Texas, of course, gets. You saw the raucous reception that Tony Ferguson got. I would imagine Brandon Moreno would also get a big one. But that's just all speculation.
What's Rose up to right now?
Nothing that I didn't include her because she kind of marches to the beat of her own drum. She's taking long gaps off and she's never really quite been the one to get a quick turnaround, right?
That's kind of a bummer. I would love to see a triple lady title fight card, you know, but I doubt we'll sure. see that.
But is there a clear number one contender in her division
it's
right
Carl,
now?
It's Carla, it Carla. Or Carla. Or Whaley. Yeah, those are the two.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
should
yeah,
be Carla. Yeah. And Carla, if you're going to do one of those two fights, it should be Carla because she doesn't cut a lot of weight anyway. So she can have a – Carla also, congratulations, just got engaged. So who knows if she wants to fight right now. So it's up there. And then, of course, Marina is also there. But Marina and Whaley and Joanna, I think, cut a lot of weight to make 115. So they would probably have to start setting that up right now.
Yeah, the UFC was trying to book Mariana Rodriguez and Mackenzie Dern. I think it was for late July, the last July card yeah. as the main event. Mackenzie Dern was in, but Mariana was fighting September. But I, of course, if the UFC comes to Marina and offer her a title fight, I think she's going to take yeah. it sooner than that. But she wants September. Mackenzie Dern was to fight as soon as possible, so I don't think that fight is going to happen. I don't know if that fight is going to happen, but yeah, that answers on Marina and watches that right now.
You know what sucks? Because I know the UFC hates fun, but man, this is a chance to do main event. Amanda Nunes versus Julia Pena, co-main event. Valentina versus Lauren Murphy. Third title fight, Rose Namajunas rematches Carla Esparza. Then next two fights, you can put Dern versus Marina Rodriguez and then fill it out, who you already have in the card, Angela Hill and Tisha Torres opening up the pay-per-view. A five-fight lady main, all lady fights card. On the main card for yeah. pay-per-view. We got it right there. Let's
like
do
they
it.
Did once with the heavyweights, I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah, they did that. They've done it before. 140.
Bigfoot and Velasquez too. I think JDS and Frank Mir, a main card with the heavyweights.
That card got absolutely decimated by injuries, though. The initial lineup was pretty unbelievable because the original main event for that card, if I remember correctly, was JDS and Overeem, if I remember correctly, and then Kane was supposed to fight Frank Mir, and then Overeem got popped for illegal substances, and Frank Mir got elevated, and then Kane turned Bigfoot into a bloody pulp. I believe Roy Nelson beat. I don't remember. And then I know Stipe.
Pee-wee Herman.
Herman. Stipe, I know, crushed Shane De La Rosario, and Struve beat LeVar Johnson. But the original lineup for that card was pretty unreal.
And the UFC made their best promo ever for that card. Remember? Yep. What UFC number? 140?
146.
Google it. The UFC promo, they nailed it, and they never done anything fun after that.
There you go. Right. I think Mark Hunt was supposed to be on that card too.
Yeah,
that card was just
gonna fight Struve.
I think it was Struve, and then they rebooked it for the Japan card. Anyway, yeah. Afnan Safir 9. I apologize if I mispronounced your name on Twitter. UFC 263 payouts were 63 payouts were depressing, even with pay-per-view points. It's not enough. Do you think ESPN guaranteed 500K buys per pay-per-view deal was nullified? The leverage fighters once had. Well, I'm pretty confident in saying I think the disclosed pay, they got paid a lot more, but it's still lower than
still low.
They should be getting.
There's no way Nate Diaz made 250. There's no way.
No.
But even, yeah. But the point being, this is the first time in a while that we have disclosed pay because.
And that's because it's Arizona.
Yeah, only because it's Arizona. But what did the UFC say? I haven't been on top of it, but they said it's intellectual property or something, like it's trade secrets and normal fighters get paid.
Trade secrets, yeah.
Trade secrets.
I think it's a commission thing because Arizona for a while, when you wanted the purses, you'd have to physically drive to pick up like a piece of paper. Like, so I think it's commission to commission.
No, in Florida, they changed the rules because of,
UFC?
And Vegas too. Yeah, because
I think that maybe the UFC just like leaned on them, but Arizona, they disclosed it. But I am pretty confident in saying that Nate Diaz got way more than 200K. Still not enough.
Yeah, payouts are pressing. But you know what? Hey, fighters, create an association, create a union.
No, I won't even start.
That is on you. I think the media has said their piece. Now guys got to go. I can't. Yeah, and that's on you. That's on you, you ladies and gentlemen. All right. I like this question.
MMA from Azan Zaman, longtime commenter. Thoughts on Valiv Barcelos fight. Both of them are crazy technique, and the matchup is fire. What happens? What happens to Guitar Hero if he loses? Always fun to watch, but he's on a three-fight skid. Casey, you wanted you picked this question specifically for a reason, I assume. What's your answers to these?
Are they on? This is probably the best fight outside of the main event. It's just an awesome, awesome fight between two super talented, relatively unknown bantamweights. I don't know them well enough with the Guitar Hero line. Is that something? Is that a joke?
Who's Guitar Hero? I don't
know. It's a nickname for, I believe, Justin James. Whatever his name is. He's also on the card. There's two separate questions.
I thought that was like Austin Harris's nickname. it's not even a question. It's just like that fight rules. I'm like, yes, it does. Sorry.
It says thoughts on Valiv Barcelos fight. I agree with you. That fight rules.
Yeah.
Hany Barcelos finally got his fight. I feel like he's been calling for a fight for a long time. But yeah, he's awesome, and I'm very excited for that. What's he on, a 5-fight win streak?
Who?
Something like that.
Yeah.
He was scheduled to fight Asansa at one point. He's also
and Marab
called him out.
Yeah.
In December, when he looked awesome, and then I think he was supposed to fight, but he was medically suspended, and the commission didn't allow him
to fight because it would be just like 3 or 4 weeks away from his previous one, so he just pulled him.
But they were both in Las Vegas, and they let Figueiredo fight on like 21 days. All weird stuff. But Figueiredo also didn't take like any damage against Alex Perez. What happens to Guitar Hero if he loses? Oh yeah, I think he's on a 3-fight losing streak. So if he loses 4 in a row, he's probably not in the UFC anymore. He's a very, very fun fighter, and we're not going to call him Justin anymore. We're just going to call him Guitar Hero. Fair.
This is a must win fight. But back to
Justin James, he's only, I just looked it up, Devontae Smith, Gabriel Benitez, Gavin Tucker. Those were three, and his first fight was against Frank Camacho. Tough draw for your first 4 fights in the UFC. So this for sure is winner go home. Anyway,
tough draw, but none of those guys are top 15 guys either. You got to win. That's all. You have to win at some point. Being exciting isn't enough, especially if they're against unranked fighters and you've never been a ranked fighter. But back to Valiv
Barcelos.
I kind of hate this fight because those guys are so freaking good that I don't want them to kind of knock each other out. But 135 is just so freaking good. I believe both these guys with the proper competition and just fighting enough, they're both top 10 talents. But right now, to me, there are probably 20 fighters who are top 10 talent, if that makes sense. So it's just unfortunate. One of them are going to knock each other out of the rankings or potential rankings. But so watch this fight. It should be freaking awesome. That's all.
Yeah. The UFC in Brazil here, the UFC team, Big Nog, they're really, really high on Hany Barcelos. They have a lot of trust that he's going to be a big deal in this division. And I agree with them. He has something that most Brazilians don't have, which is a wrestling background. His ground game, his jiu-jitsu, his striking, his complete fighter, man. He's really good. He's way past time. He should be fighting a top 15 already. They tried to book him against. Yeah, they tried to give him a
half twice. Song.
Yeah, but he chose to wait when Asunson got injured, and then. Then Hany Barcelos got COVID on 5 week, stuff like that. Before he was flying out with his father, who also got COVID. But yeah, he's a real deal. He's really good, but he's not a young fighter. I think he's 34 or 33 or something like that.
Yeah, he's not the youngest. Numbers don't lie. Was Jay-Z wrong from Terrence Leverett? You wanna outstruck Lauren? Jojo. Sorry, the spelling was it's small writing, so it looked like Joanna. Jojo outstruck Lauren in rounds 1 and 3. Brandon outstruck Figgy in round 3 of their fight, and the judges had him winning. I scored it 10-8 for Brandon, with a point being taken away. Well, I know numbers don't lie. Don't tell the whole story of all the time, i.e. Max versus Dustin. I find these fighters should have won. What are your thoughts? Any other examples? So... So both of these fights are also in Arizona, and Arizona has weird judging. I think we saw that when Cain fought Francis there. They were in the main event of the first ESPN card. There were a lot of weird things happening there too. So, but the JoJo Lauren Murphy fight, I have already said, like, I missed a big chunk of that fight because I believe we were interviewing, I can't remember who, maybe Paul Craig or something like that.
I scored that fight. I scored JoJo versus Lauren a draw, actually.
Okay.
I gave it.
So it was a close fight, though, but was it a robbery?
No, not a robbery. It was a close fight. Okay. It was a close fight. To me, that's not even the issue. The issue was if the second round should have been a 10-8 to me.
Sure.
But I had a draw. I actually did have JoJo winning rounds 1 and 3. So that's a judging thing. I don't know what.
All right. So we're going to use this because we haven't had any questions on it to talk about bad judging. Jeremy, what did you think of Gleison Tibau versus Rory McDonald?
It was odd. I was watching, but I was watching on mute because I was trying to get Maya to sleep. But that's pretty much how I watch fights now. I scored for Rory, but I'm not sure if I would call it just the biggest robbery of all time. Like people took all this outcry. I think he won, but I wouldn't go that far to call the worst robbery of all time.
Why does everything have to be the worst robbery for the robbery? I mean, like, if it's a 10th worst robbery in all of MMA, that's pretty, you know what I mean? I think it's the biggest robbery this year. Yeah, I agree this year.
Yeah.
Because I had Rory winning 30-27. I thought it was easy. Because I do the social media for the site. Yeah. I was about to publish Rory McDonald.
You're like ready, like, all right.
I was literally just waiting for it. And I was like, what? And I had to like scrap all my work and do it. Like, I thought it was that obvious. I try to get ahead of it. So,
I just watched the entire fight and it was over and then I had to do something and I left. When I came back, I saw both fighters waiting for the announcements. And there was just the fan scoring or stuff like that. They were just showing on the screen.
They put the commentator scoring, the fan scoring. Rory.
Rory's going to win. Okay, yeah. And I agreed. And then I just left. And when I came back, I sat on the couch with Maya. And I was looking back. When I look up, it was just Gleison and Pahumpinha just jumping. I went, what? What did I miss?
Even the commentators like Kenny Florian and Sean O'Connell were like, that is egregious, this and that. It doesn't make any sense. And it's a bigger deal too because this in the PFL, it's a league. So you win, you get points, and you can go to their playoffs and this and that. Now Rory McDonald doesn't get those 3 points, and I don't know what his draw. Well, I can't remember how to pronounce his next opponent's name, but that is a tough draw. So Rory McDonald got more than just win-loss, kind of got screwed in his path to $1 million in the PFL.
I want to say this. We always complain about judging. Everyone's judging this. But then we have so many fights. Like I think JoJo Lauren should have been a draw, whatever. But a lot of people are like, all right, it's a close fight. It's not a robbery. If all these fights are not robberies, is there a problem with judging? How many robberies are there this year?
Not as many as people think.
Not as many,
like,
yeah,
legitimate
exactly.
Legitimate robbery.
Because people go, it was a close fight. Yeah. It was a close fight. Could go in either way, you know?
I thought this guy won, but if he didn't win, that's a robbery because I disagree. That's not how it works.
And that's in anything. Like if you watch a TV show and you put this big theory together of how it's going to end and it doesn't happen, all of a sudden you hate that TV show and it sucks. But no, it's not true. Just what you thought didn't work out for you. I don't think there's a massive problem with judging. I just think when you have fights like this where everyone is so up in arms over one specific fight, it just kind of becomes the topic for a few weeks. That's it.
I do think there are lots of robberies, but a lot of times those robberies are very early on the prelims. So we just kind of, fans, media don't really care about it that much. We're not invested in it. But since it was Rory McDonald, it was the main event PFL, the significance, I think, we just pay attention more, I think.
Which one do you guys think would be a bigger robbery? Tibau winning or Julio Cesar Chavez winning against Anderson Silva?
Oh, if he would have got one more card?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a bit
different. Julio.
Yeah.
I mean, Julio winning would have been a bigger robbery to my mind because that is just pure boxing politics. right there. I think that's a bigger that I think that transcends just judging, and that's a you're fighting Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. in Guadalajara, and he's fighting a non-boxer. I think that's the story right there. That's just a judge not wanting Anderson to win.
Yeah, that would have been pretty bad, especially because I had a 7-1. It can easily it can easily been 8-0 if you're generous to Anderson. If you're generous to Chavez Jr., it could have been 6-2, maybe, if you're generous, you know.
That would be a robbery, but that would be more of a controversy than just judges. That's a political
thing. I don't even want to think about that, Gary. Get those thoughts out of my head. Jeez.
When they were announcing that split decision,
when we did the watch along, I was like 35 seconds ahead of Casey and Mike Heck. And when they said split decision, I was just like, I was making this like confused face, and Mike was just like, oh no, what's happening? He thought Chavez won, and then he saw it too, and he was like, split? That's bizarre. But yeah, it was weird. Anyway, thank you for the question, Terrence Leverett. I know we went a little over time, Casey. Is there one last question you want to hit before we call it a day? So I know Jeremy's got daddy things to do.
Oh, yeah. I get everything. Yeah, I think I pulled up a few questions. Hold on. real quick, we'll fly through these. Yeah, hold on.
Rapid fire.
I don't know what this question means, but it was for Jeremy.
For Guillerme, is the FC Porto Cachillo in the back? If it is, are you a fan of the club?
Yeah, that's I have no idea
what that means.
Yes, Porto.
I also see you have a Toronto Raptors one back there.
Yeah. That's a lot of one. That's the Toronto one.
Topic.
I got one for each country I've ever been to.
Oh, okay.
What represents Portugal. So... there's New York, there's Barcelona,
Canada,
PSG,
that's pretty cool.
Ajax, Boca Juniors, Rome,
Uruguay, you need to come to Phoenix. You need South to come Africa. To Phoenix and get a Phoenix Suns one because they are America's team right now.
Are those jerseys or like the little scarves?
I think it's the scarves.
Oh, okay, cool. I just get magnets.
I need one from Abu Dhabi. I don't get one. Yeah.
Come on, man. All right.
All right. But I'm not a fan of the club. I'm a fan of
traveling.
Botafogo.
Okay.
Botafogo. Yes.
There you go.
Quick one again. Here we go.
Does Korean Zombie join the list of fighters they want to fight Yair on the 17th of July? Giga claims now an interview with MMA junkies John Morgan. He signed a contract to fight Yair. I'm pretty sure Korean Zombie wants to fight Yair no matter what day of the month it is or what month it is, because that first fight, he was 1 second away from winning. I think he would want the 5-round main event. Giga Chikadze said he's fighting Yair. So if Giga's fighting Yair, then I am all in on Korean Zombie versus Max Holloway. I freaking love that fight so much.
But we have no idea what's going on with Max Holloway,
No idea. No idea what's going on with Max, and no idea if Giga is telling the truth in him sending a contract to fight Yair. No idea.
Could be one of those cases like fighters coming out, sign the contracts. Not even contracts for them to sign.
Yeah, like, saying sign the contract.
I've signed it. Here's a piece of paper. You can't really read it. I'm shaking. It's too small, but I signed it.
It's like when Paolo lost to Izzy next week. He's like, sign the contract for the rematch. And then Daniel Cormier was like, what contract is he talking about? That was one of my favorite scrubs. He's like, Paolo, go home. You lost. Oh man, that was a good time. Anyway, thank you for the question, Joseph Boza.
And last one, dude. I gotta say, I didn't like the way Costa was promoting his fight versus Izzy, but kind of this post Costa and I don't know, his crazy Twitter things and his trying to call out Marvin
and tweeting about his calf.
Yeah, he's his calf. I don't know. I'm all in. I'm back on the Paulo Costa train. I like
it. Thinking the earth is flat and everything.
Yeah, Troll Costa.
Are we Charlie Willie? I also saw this on Twitter, so good for calling up. Are we overlooking the possibility of Derek Lewis becoming the next UFC heavyweight champion? Nope, he might. Nope. He absolutely might win.
Nope.
It's heavyweight fighting at the highest level, and the dude has the touch of death. Like, I think him and Ngannou are the two that define that
touch of death. And if Derek Lewis can somehow, I'm not going to say take Francis down, but if Francis slips on a banana peel and Derek Lewis happens to fall on top of him, Derek Lewis's ground and pound might be the most vicious, heaviest ground and pound in the entire world. So there's obviously Ngannou to me is a heavy favorite, but I'm a weirdo. I actually think Derek Lewis is a tougher fight at heavyweight than John Jones is at heavyweight. I'm not a believer in John Jones at heavyweight, but I think Derek Lewis is equally as tough, if not tougher, than John Jones at heavyweight for Francis Ngannou. So
I just watched Mike Heck's interview with OSP, and even OSP was like, you can win two rounds and 4 minutes and 59 seconds of a fight, but at heavyweight it takes one punch and you're dead. So anytime any heavyweights are fighting, I think it's pretty close to 50-50 anyway.
I just hope there's an actual fight this time.
Yeah. Let's talk about it again when that fight comes up. Yeah. I think we've hit time. Guilherme, thanks so much for joining us. Before we give you your promo, Casey, I just want to read you this tweet that Paulo Costa put out because you're back on the Paulo Costa hype train. He tweeted a photo of a submarine and a map with lines on it. And it says, submarine global cable map. Which connection between Brazil and Europe has built? Where's the satellite? People said satellites doesn't work. That's Casey Lyon's guy right there. That's Casey Lyon's guy right there. Anyway, Guilherme, what do you got to say? What do you got to say? Thank you for bringing Maya on the show. She was beautiful, and hopefully she makes more appearances in the future.
Yeah. I just want to thank everyone for the kind message when she was born. She's just a beautiful baby. Thank you, everyone in MMA fighting, for all the help for all these past 8 weeks of barely no sleep. I want to ask all the good people out there, but only the good people. Let's make babies and let's fill this world with good people and good creatures, because we have a lot of bad people out there. So let's make some good ones to compensate.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well said, Casey. Good luck following that up. Good luck.
I was just going to say. Well, yeah, good people. Yeah, everyone loves good people.
Ooh, oh,
good
you boy. Got the book, Casey.
I just want to talk about Chris Rini's book. I got it recently. It freaking is awesome. It's got so many freaking cool illustrations in here. And it's just freaking awesome.
Tell them about one of the chapters.
Oh, there's a great chapter about my wife, Esther Lynn.
when Chris was on, he had sent me the digital copy like a month or two ago. And I know you didn't know. So I was going to
leave. I didn't know I did, yeah.
I was going to, so what he said, Casey doesn't know either. I was like, whoosh. I'm glad I didn't ask you. But anyway, go buy Chris's book. We'll have him back on again. We'll plug it some more.
Support, he was great. Anyway, support mixed martial arts art.
Yes. Support local businesses. Support all that fun stuff. Anyway, I think this is, no, we might have one more. Happy Pride Month, everyone, of course. Thank you for joining us, Guy. Lucy's now coming to say hi again. Anyway, for Casey, that's Guy. This is Jose. We'll see you next Wednesday. We're out.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Koreshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.